I want to go ahead and get started. Again, thank you all very, very much for being with us this morning. This is our weekly Tallahassee Tourism Industry Zoom meeting, and I want to thank you all so much for being with us today. It's great to see so many faces and wonderful that everybody's here. Just want to remind everybody,
this meeting is being recorded.
Your microphone, it's the lower left. With a lot of folks on the call, it's important that we do this so everybody can hear. So again, please mute your microphone, but then when you want to speak, go ahead and unmute it. Again, as many of y'all know the drill on these Zoom meetings, which has become part of our lives. So go ahead and unmute when you wish to speak. So again, thank you all so much for being with us this morning. We know as a community and as an industry, we are absolutely all in this together, and we will get through this together, and we will be ultimately a stronger destination. But until then, we're very much actively in the process of slowly and safely reopening businesses and our community. We know that this is a continually evolving situation at a national, state, and local level with the COVID-19 pandemic. In Florida, there are now nearly 47,000 cases of COVID-19, and that added more than 6,000 new cases since we met a week. We've seen our numbers here grow in our own community to now in Leon County, there are 304 positive cases of COVID-19. That is 38 cases since last week. So again, sharing just a couple of brief updates. As we know, the governor's full phase one of the safe, smart, and step-by-step Florida's recovery effort became effective on Monday, this past Monday. And as you all are aware, there's restaurants and food establishments can now operate at 50% capacity. Although outside dining is still very much encouraged, and of course, utilizing social distancing practices. Retail operations may now operate at 50% capacity. They've been at 25%, the same as restaurants. This week, they now went to 50, and we're going to hear from Sally Bradshaw from Midtown Reader, again, talking about, you know, her retail establishment, because they're so important to our recovery as a destination, too. But hearing directly from them, and they're doing some really cool stuff. Museums and libraries now can operate at 50%. Our libraries here in Leon County remain closed, the buildings, but they do offer curbside delivery and pickup, which is working extremely well. And museums, Tallahassee Museum, Tallahassee Automobile Museum, our museums are opening up, but again, adapting their model to the 50% capacity as well. Sports venues, sports teams and sports events can begin to take place now, but however, without spectators. And then barbershops and salons, oh hallelujah, have opened up again starting this week. So again, of course, following very strict safety protocols. And then vacation rentals is really the hot issue this week in the governor's plan of the Safe, Smart, Step-by-Step plan. The governor did allow for the reopening of short-term rentals and vacation rentals, but however, the governor's order now requires that a county submit a safety plan to the Department of Business and Professional Regulation to be approved in order to then allow that particular county to open up their short-term and vacation rentals. Yesterday, I'm sure many of you all heard, seven panhandle counties were approved in one block by DBPR and the governor. That started with Franklin County, the St. George Island, Apalachicola, all the way to the west to Pensacola and Escambia. So all the seven coastal counties have reopened their short-term rentals and vacation rentals. And we currently here in Leon County are working on our safety plan to allow the short-term rentals here to reopen in our destination. We know travelers do appreciate that option to have that in addition to all of our wonderful hotels. So we at the Leon County Commission has called a special meeting for tomorrow, Thursday, 3 o'clock. This is a result of the County Commission meeting last week where the commissioners really wanted to dig deeper into the county's reopen plan. And that's what the meeting is about tomorrow. And it will include of many items. We'll be taking up the consideration and reviewing the plan for to reopen our short-term rentals. So again, that meeting is tomorrow at 3 o'clock. You can watch it on Comcast Channel 16. It's also live streamed. So again, you can check that out. Just again to see the county's kind of reopen plans and the considerations there, and also the short-term rentals. And it's going to be really interesting because it's Memorial Day weekend this weekend coming up. So this will be a big experiment with people beginning to travel. We know there's pent-up demand. So this weekend, certainly, there are going to be more people on the move. I'm going to share just a couple of highlights from a Destinations Analyst report that came out just this weekend from data last week. They did over 1,500 surveys to gauge traveler sentiment. And it's really interesting is that 75% of travelers now will research how a destination and the businesses are managing the coronavirus situation before deciding to travel. So 75% of people in the travel planning process are looking, it is a consideration factor to see how the destination is managing coronavirus in their communities and the businesses in their communities. 75%. 65% of travelers will carry hand sanitizer. 64% will follow social distancing practices. Again, these are going to be treat people starting traveling this weekend, too. So we'll see that. 58% of travelers want to avoid crowds. And 57% of travelers will wear a mask. So again, that's 57%, so more than half. And then 28% of travelers will only eat restaurant takeout. Again, this was according to a Destination Analyst survey done last week to gauge traveler sentiment. And what was also really interesting is that destination marketing websites, the visittallahassee.com, they are now a valuable and trusted source for destination information. So again, it's very, very important for us as your destination marketers to make sure we are conveying, you know, how we are managing, you know, COVID-19 and, you know, that whole situation, and how safety is of paramount importance to us as a destination and the businesses within the destination. So again, visittallahassee.com now is a much more valuable, trusted source for travel planning decisions. So again, that's very useful information for you all to know as partners. And I think Katie's going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. So we know many changes are happening in our community and across the state, and will continue to happen as we begin to take baby steps to reopen our community and reopen the state of Florida. I do believe that our county and our city are working really, really hard to find that sweet spot between protecting lives and livelihoods as we do start to open. And we certainly are going to learn as we go, adapt our processes as we travel along this recovery continuum to a new normal, whatever that may look like. And as we know, the universities are well underway in developing their plan for the fall, for students to return in the fall in some form or fashion. We certainly can anticipate kind of a hybrid model of in-person and online classes, but again, we'll know more about that, but we know the universities, you know, certainly here locally, but all across the state are looking at that. We know that just the reopening of our community will be a phased approach, just the same as how we began our marketing strategies and marketing the destination will also be a phased approach. Because there's just still, again, we've got to kind of monitor that balance between, you know, being safe and protecting our visitors and consumers and businesses, while also making sure our businesses, you know, economically are bringing some revenue in. So I guess now I would like to turn it over to staff to share just a few brief updates on Visit Tallahassee, your Leon County Tourism Office, to share a couple of activities from us. So first we'll hear from Senior Marketing Director Katie Cole, and then Amanda Heidecker, who is our Senior Sales and Sports Director. So Katie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you, Carrie, and good morning, everyone. As Carrie mentioned, we are continuing to work on our marketing recovery plan with the Zimmerman Agency. We do plan to share that with you guys on an upcoming call, so be on the lookout for that invitation as well. And then our team continues to work on our list hygiene just to make sure that all of our partners are accurately listed on visittallahassee.com. So we're asking for your help with this. If you could take a few minutes out of your day and go to visittallahassee.com, look at your listing, make sure your information, your phone number, your address, everything is, your description is correct. And if you have any edits to that, you can email myself, you can email Scott, you can email Renee, you can email anyone at Visit Tallahassee, and we can take care of that and update the website. So this is a great time while we're starting to slowly reopen to make sure that our website is as accurate as possible. We also continuously are updating our COVID-19 consumer page. And so we are asking our partners to share any details that they have regarding any reopening that you are doing. As you start to reopen, we just want to make sure this page is as accurate as possible. Brenna Dix, who's on this call, Visit Florida, is linking directly to that page. So there's a lot of traffic heading there. And so we just want to make sure that all of our information is accurate. So we appreciate you continuing to keep us informed as you begin to reopen. And then in addition to updates on your business, please also share any specific safety or health precautions that you may be implementing. As Carrie mentioned, promoting safe behavior within the destination is going to be key as we start to market the destination again. And as part of our messaging, we want to make sure to share what our industry is doing and what our partners are doing to create a safe destination and healthy destination. So we appreciate you guys sharing that information with us. And lastly, I'm a little bit on repeat here, but I want more and more members. We're growing every week. But if you haven't done so already, please do join the new Visit Tallahassee Industry Facebook page. It's a really great resource for you to share information that you have going on within your business, as well as for Visit Tallahassee to share what we have going on with you. So simply search Visit Tallahassee Partners and click join. And we look forward to having you as part of the group. So that's my update. Thank you, Carrie. And thank you again, everyone, for being on these calls every week.
Great. Thanks, Katie. Amanda.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Again, like Katie said, thank you for joining us. This does mean a lot to us, and we're glad that we can share your information and our information all together on this platform. So on the sales side, obviously, as the governor continues to open up the state of Florida, one of our main goals is to do a lot of research and continue to explore what sporting events, festivals, and meetings are going to look like in our destination. So please, if you come across any valuable information or different protocols that you see, please share that with us here, the sales team and the marketing side. We're doing it for the sports, for meetings, and for leisure, and what that looks like. We have been contacting a lot of our other destinations in the state, those that have already reopened, and talking about sporting events. Had a call with Panama City, and they will be actually having their first baseball tournament in 2 weeks. And so just learning from those around us and how they're doing it and how they're keeping everyone safe. So please share those stories, like I mentioned, and protocols. We really do appreciate it. It will be to our success on how we can do that best and keep everyone safe. We, again, are continuing to work with groups that have been postponed. We have rebooked a softball tournament for August. That was in July, and so we are excited about that. We are continuously to work on our meetings and our group page, kind of how Katie mentioned, just taking this time to really get as much content and information up onto our website. And again, like Katie said, please share with us any success stories when it comes to your protocols, safety protocols, you know, at your institutions. We are gathering that information, and we greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate that. And yeah, we've got some of the speakers on the call I'm really excited about. I'll talk about some of the changes in the meetings and events world. So again, really appreciate the team, Amanda, Katie, and the entire Visit Tallahassee Leon County Tourism team really doing a great job during these very unprecedented times. And as we all know, in this pandemic, we're all learning every week. These industry meetings are providing, you know, a great platform for us to share learning, knowledge, and to support each other in our community. But as we do every week, we have several outstanding guest speakers with us this morning. And so we're going to hear from them, and then we're going to open it up to hear from you. So first on deck will be Stephen Bonda, Global Project Manager with Conference Direct. He's going to share some meetings and events updates in this COVID-19. Steve and I actually go way back to our years together at Visit Florida, and is truly an expert, leading expert for meetings and events here in the state of Florida and here in Tallahassee. So again, excited to hear from him. Next, we will hear from Sally Bradshaw. She is the owner of Midtown Reader, and she's going to share updates on the COVID-19 impact to their operations, and they are doing some really cool adaptive programming, and it'll be interesting to see as they're now opening up to 50% to get to hear some insights from her, because as we know, retail is an important part of this destination and is critical to the health and economic rebound of our community. So last but certainly not least, we're going to hear from J.H. Leo from Tallahassee Foodies. As we know, this Tallahassee Foodies was created by Jennifer and J.H. Leo, and most of you know that Tallahassee Foodies has served as a beloved and trusted source for restaurant food recommendations, promoting, you know, deliveries and takeout options. And they've got over 17,000 Facebook members and have truly been a leader in promoting local restaurants and been behind some of the key initiatives, such as like Rally for Tally, but doing a lot of great stuff. Again, a very beloved and trusted source. So we'll have JH with us. So we're going to start off with Stephen Fonda, then turn it over to Sally Bradshaw, and then over to JH Leo from Tallahassee Foodies. So with that, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us in today's call.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary. I appreciate you inviting me, Janet. Thank you so much for inviting me. Not sure if I'm an expert, Gary, but yeah, we do go way back, maybe like, what, 15, 16 years or something like that, right?
Probably.
changes in the meetings and events world is mentioned. And I'll ask Janet, I'm like, okay, well, where do you want me to start? You know, I can obviously talk about this for a good hour and a half, 2 hours. and again, I'm not even an expert. So, I mean, the most obvious one, obviously, there's almost zero meetings going on in the entire world. However, a lot of my clients are anxious to, you know, get on the road again. And obviously, so am I. You mentioned pent-up demand earlier, Gary. Well, there's definitely that in the meetings and conventions world. A lot of my clients have postponed their meetings. Most of them have postponed their meetings. Some of them have canceled, unfortunately. And some of them have switched from face-to-face to completely virtual meetings. I'm actually working on two completely virtual meetings right now. Similar, but obviously completely different than a face-to-face meeting. So what I'm working with them on right now is the new normal. You know, how are we putting a meeting together at a property, at a you know, at a hotel, with all of these safety measures in place? So what I've done actually for them is I created a checklist because of the many, many webinars I attended, the many virtual conferences I attended, and I kind of collected all of these safety measures that one can put in place. Now, and I'll share this later, you know, with you, Carrie, or with you, Janet. I'm happy to share it with everybody. There's about 50 or so on there. If you put all of those in place, I mean, then your attendees will just not have a good time. And they just basically, they will be in prison. So that's why I put that checklist together. I will, you know, okay, this one is perfect for our conference. This one is perfect for our meeting. Let's do this one. Let's do that one. So what I want to go over, I just want to go back, touch on just a few things that I've been hearing from my clients and what I've been seeing, working with my hotel partners and so on, about something that the hotels, myself as the conference manager, and then my clients are introducing. Obviously, attendees, if they're feeling sick, not feeling well, running a fever, don't go. You know, of course not. Social distancing is always a good practice. A lot of my clients are introducing a no hugs, no kissing, and no handshaking policy. You know, especially in the meetings and events industry, that's a difficult one. But yeah, no hugs, no kissing, no handshaking goes hand in hand, obviously, hand in hand, no pun intended, with the social distancing. Talk with your property as well. What are they doing for the extra additional new measures? What have they put in place to create a safe environment for the conference attendees, for the meetings attendees? And communicate that. I can't stress this enough. Communicate to your meetings attendees, to your conference attendees, about what are you doing, what is the property doing to create a safe, you know, safe learning and, you know, networking environment. Same thing. Maybe during the pre-con, you can go review the crisis guidelines of the property, of the, you know, the hotel or the event property. Make PPE available to attendees. Maybe, you know, put a cool customized mask, you know, in their registration bags. Obviously, have a lot of, you know, hand sanitizers available in strategic places. Another thing you can do, hire a medical professional to make sure to observe and make sure that, you know, do wellness checks, check temperature when people check in at the registration and information desk of your conference, or maybe the hotel is doing it as well at their registration desk. Check temperature if they're entering meeting and event spaces. Another one that's pretty logical, make sure that the property staff is requiring all of them to wear disposable gloves. Make sure that they change them out a lot. I think that last one is pretty important. You know, if you're wearing a pair of gloves and you don't change it out, obviously the gloves won't do anything, you know, for you and for your attendees. Another one that a lot of my clients are introducing is staggering session times. Because of the social distancing, space might not be, you know, enough space might not be available for the number of attendees that you have. So what you can do is stagger session end times before lunch. If they go, you know, if you have 30 minutes for lunch, have one of the session end at 11 a.m., one at 11:30, and one at noon. So that way they have three different groups that are eating the lunch. You can all obviously, you know, use the same meeting and event space, have that cleaned up and so on. Maybe don't do buffets anymore. Go to cafeteria style. I've seen a lot of hotels and a lot of hotel chains that keep going to all plated meals at the moment. A normal round takes, you know, 8 to 10 people. Reduce that by a lot. So then make sure that there's enough social distancing in place. And then finally, you know, if you want to do a reception, if you want to do a networking reception, definitely add additional bars, add additional bartenders, just to minimize those attendee lines, you know, for the bars. Pass food, have them covered or wrapped or something like that. So how is this going to look like in, you know, in the future? What I really see is, you know, both event organizers or attendees are becoming much more familiar, much more confident with social technology. So what I think is that we're going to see a lot of hybrid meetings moving forward. Hopefully not so much, you know, going into the virtual meetings, because, you know, I like face-to-face meetings. I think most people like face-to-face meetings. But a lot of hybrids. I'm going to see a lot of hybrid meetings, I think. I've seen that already from you know, meetings associations and some of my clients that are really interested in that. A hybrid meeting basically is attendees can still attend a face-to-face meeting at a property at a hotel. The ones that are familiar or that are confident about, you know, traveling and so on. But some people might not. Some people might not want to travel yet, or maybe they just don't have the time. You know, they're double booked or so, but they do want to see that particular meeting, or they do need their continuing education credits. So they can easily log on, obviously for free, you know, so that you can still get some of the revenue and attend the meeting virtually while still seeing you know, the production value and the speakers and so on an actual stage. So that's kind of what I see changes wise. And happy to open it up to questions, Gary, if you'll allow that, or obviously, again, if somebody wants that, you know, that long, long list of like safety measures, safety items that you can discuss with your decision makers, with your clients, or with the property, happy to send that on as well.
Great. Thank you so much, Stephen. Really appreciate that. And absolutely would love to receive a copy and we'll post it. We can put it either on the Facebook page and then we can have it on our COVID resource page. Because again, I think the more we can share knowledge and best practices, the better off we are. Even if you glean just a, you know, one or two nuggets from it, I think it's valuable because we do know that the landscape is changing and particularly in meetings and events. I mean, I've seen some groups with some pretty radical changes that, you know, you talked about rounds of 10 that people now go into rounds of 4, you know, in a ballroom. So you think about how much the, you know, meetings, how much more meeting space they're going to need. And I've heard a lot of them going to like prepackaged meals, like takeout box meals, as opposed to without like receptions or, you know, group functions. So I know that there's a gamut of possibilities and certainly meetings and events and you know, business gatherings are important to us as a destination because we get, you know, anywhere from 20 to, you know, 29% of our business in any quarter from meetings, from business meetings and that are coming to town. So we know it's essential to our product. And I know Janet is the team and Katie working with the properties and sports too, as we try to, you know, work through this new normal to let groups feel comfortable and let the event organizers feel confident in what they're doing. So appreciate you sharing that list. Is there any, that checklist, is there anyone have any questions for Stephen? Okay, well, hearing none. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. Next, I would like to hear from Sally Bradshaw. Thank you so much for joining us, the owner of the wonderful Midtown Reader. Again, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Carrie and Renee and Katie. I'm so grateful for the opportunity and grateful for what Visit Tallahassee does for local retail business. And for our business in particular, I noticed that you always repost our post and give us visibility. We know there are actually studies that show that strong communities and strong communities that are tourist destinations frequently have locally owned independent bookstores. And that may seem sort of nostalgic and crazy in the age of Amazon, but the truth is independent bookstores have made a huge comeback in the last 10 years as more and more people want the experience of browsing in a bookstore and are interested in local programming and content and hearing authors and just being available as a third space, I think, for people, a place to exchange ideas. We are in a community of readers. We're obviously in a community that is strong in terms of education opportunities, two major universities, an extremely strong community college system and public school system. And that has really benefited us. And we are entering our fourth year in business, and each year we've grown our sales, which we're grateful for. I can say that a pandemic was not really in our business model as we were finally reaching a break-even point this year and moving towards profitability. And because we're doing more than selling books, we're really providing an experience for people. There was a real challenge for us back in March as we began to look at this seriously and decide exactly how to attempt to make lemonade of lemons. But what we decided to do with our tiny staff of 10 was really lean into three or four key areas that we'd not been able to focus on in the first 3 years of our business. And that included our online sales. We've always had an online presence, but as you might imagine, it's very difficult to compete against Amazon online. We knew that Amazon would face some of the same issues we had faced in terms of the time it takes to actually get a book. So we decided to lean in with our online orders. We decided to offer curbside pickup. We also decided to offer free delivery which is a bit of a lost leader for us because we have to pay our staff both their salary and knowledge to deliver books. But we wanted to be helpful to the community, and we believe that if books were in store, we actually could beat Amazon, as radical as that sounds. And so if we had a bestseller in store and someone ordered by noon, we could get it to them same day, which is something Amazon can still not do. And I'm proud to say we have frequently been able to do that. We have leaned into virtual events. We've always had a strong event presence and brought in some terrific authors in the community. But now we've been able to partner with publishers and bring in authors who normally would not come to Tallahassee, but will make an appearance via a Zoom webinar or online. And so we've been able to partner with the Southern Indie Booksellers Alliance and some publishers like Penguin Random House and Macmillan directly, and host some terrific authors. So we have three or four virtual author events a week, which have really been well intended. And I can't believe I'm saying this, because I want you to shop at our bookstore and I want you to feel like you need to support local, but we've actually grown our sales this year substantially over last year. And particularly in the last couple of months, the community has stepped up and leaned in, I think, with many retail establishments and made the commitment to shop local and to support local businesses. The independent bookstore industry as a whole in the last 60 days has seen a 34% decline in sales. That's industry-wide. And we've actually at Midtown Readers seen a pretty significant increase in sales. And now we're planning for the new normal, which is we can't let go of delivery. It's been very popular. And so how do we increase our staff presence to support our delivery program while we reopen to customers? We are currently allowing for private browsing in store. So if your dream has ever been to be alone by yourself in a bookstore, you can do that at Midtown Reader. We're taking online appointments in 20-minute segments, and they've been quite popular, but we have to reopen. And so we've been very methodical and very careful to protect staff and customers. Our booksellers do wear masks. We have closed our upstairs so that Lucy and Leo's, our neighbors and partners, our cupcake partners, can have a presence, and now their space is accessible on its own through our front staircase. But the bookstore is only operating on one floor, so it's relatively small footprint, but we've been able to make it work, and we will reopen for walk-in browsing beginning June 1. And again, we will be very careful and very focused on hygiene and distancing. We actually stole an idea from the Midway post office out where I live near Havana and Quincy. We put a huge plastic shower curtain hanging from the ceiling in front of our register. And so we can see you, but we can also socially distance from you at the cash register. And that has worked very well for us. And we're just so grateful to this community for embracing local retail and really trying to be supportive of what it means to have locally owned shops, because we do provide jobs, as I said, to 10 people from Tallahassee. And this has given us an opportunity to lean in on some new aspects of our business and again, grow our online presence in a way we probably would not have been able to focus on without the pandemic. And we are actually optimistic about the future. I would just end on this one cautionary note. One of the concerns we have as we listen to local healthcare providers and local officials is what happens not so much through the summer, where we expect things to remain relatively flat in terms of COVID and the growth in cases, but what happens once schools start up again and people are in mass gatherings again? What does that do to November and December, which you all know is the time that retail establishments really have to make bank. And so we are already putting in place an operational plan for an expanded delivery and some expanded offerings that we can make to our customer base for the holiday season if, God forbid, things really go south again during that window. But we are leaning in and having fun and grateful to visit Tallahassee and to all of our partners to continue to operate this crazy little enterprise. So happy to take any questions, and thank you for letting us talk about the bookstore.
Great. Thank you so much, Sally. And again, love all your virtual author, you know, talks and just all that you do. So thank you so much for being with us. We'll open it up. Are there any questions for Sally?
I guess for me, I just wanted to put a thank you out there to you. My daughter has been getting books delivered from you, and she would have gone absolutely insane during this break without the existence of your delivery service, which is wonderful. I will add something about the Christmas. I have been warned that because of the lack of manufacturing over in China and the lack of shipping, I'm going to have trouble getting inventory. And I don't know if that goes around to other retail stores, but, you know, my board games and my toys are all made overseas, either in Europe or in Asia, and or a lot of them are. And we're going to far outstrip the American capacity to make the toys that are made here. And we should be planning for that as well, and planning for what we're going to do if we get a second round. Like I say, backup plans are important. I'm hoping we don't. I don't want us to, but what if it does, and how do we address this? I'd love to have a plan in place for this and how restaurants deal with the second round, just so we have something in the bag in case anything happens, so we're not caught off guard like we were this time.
I'm so thrilled your daughter's a reader, and thank you for saying that about our delivery business. Because it has been interesting and a challenge, and I'm glad she's been able to get books from us. So thank you for supporting us. You know, it's interesting, in the publishing industry, Amazon and independent booksellers tend to use the same warehouses where publishers publish books, send them to multiple warehouses around the country, and those warehouses then ship the books. And what has happened in the publishing industry is that the demand for reading and content has actually increased in the last 60 days, because people have been sheltering in place. They want a puzzle. I'm sure, you know, this has been your experience. They want a particular game. They want a particular book. And it has way exceeded the print that's been available. So the publishers have had to go back to the drawing board very quickly. And so many of these warehouses are running behind, and it has again made Amazon, it's put Amazon at a bit of a disadvantage, because they can't get the volume as quickly as they have. And so our ability to deliver locally has made us competitive, which is just stunning to me. But like you, I do worry about supply, and we sell items that are not just books. We do sell puzzles, and we sell games, and we sell greeting cards, and many things are manufactured overseas. So I do worry about that. And financially, you are in a position where you're really watching your cash flow. So I'm reluctant to go ahead and buy for the holidays now, not really knowing what the summer is going to look like. So would welcome any advice on that. Any thoughts?
I'd love to talk to you at a later time about this, because we're also delivering the board games and the puzzles and jigsaw puzzles. You know, I'd be screwed if I didn't have the relationships I do with the puzzle house. I mean, I have a personal relationship with owners, but I'm able to get inventory other people can't, which is an advantage in my book. But, and it's amazing what they'll do if I send them free candy. Bribes seem to work in this industry. It looks like we've had parallel approaches here, and maybe we should talk at some point. I've been very fascinated with what you're doing. And
well, yeah, I'd love to do that. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk offline, and would welcome the conversation.
Great dialogue. That's why we have these calls.
Carrie, this is Michelle Wilson. I just had a quick comment for Sally. I purchased the Pearls of Wisdom book and did the online virtual with the Bush grandsons, and so I just wanted to thank you for doing that, because that was great. Since the event got canceled, the book signing and everything got canceled, and you guys went ahead and did that with Jean Becker online, so I just wanted to thank you for that, because that was a great step up to, you know, make sure that the customer still got something. And I know you're going to reschedule that at some point as well, so I just really wanted to say thank you.
Thanks. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It was so fun with the grandchildren and getting their perspective, I thought, on Mrs. Bush and her wisdom. And trust me, there were many stories that they did not share about how they behaved when they were growing up. And I'm privy to many of them. And so it was fun to sort of put them on the spot. But thank you, Michelle, and thanks for participating in that. We will try to reschedule that this fall.
Great. Okay, well, thank you again, Sally, for being with us. Just want to check, was there one last question? Did I hear something?
This is Terry Messler. I just wanted to say I was able to call and order a large print book for my aunt, who's in lockdown of assisted living. And so the drive-by to pick it up outside worked very well, and I'm just very appreciative of that service because the large print wasn't in the store, so I had to be a little bit patient for it to get there, but she was very appreciative to get that book.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I'm glad we were able to do that. Thank you.
Good, good. Thank you again, Sally, for being with us, and thank you for the valuable, you know, partnership that you have with our, with all of our community and the residents, and thank you for all you do for the destination. Next, we'd like to turn it over to J.H. from Tallahassee Foodies. We're delighted that you are with us this morning. So I think you can unmute your microphone because it looks like you're there. You go. Good morning, J.H. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate you letting us come on here and talk about the Tallahassee Foodies group and the website and everything else that's become all-encompassing of what Tallahassee Foodies is here for our local community. The little background on Tallahassee Foodies, for those of you, if you're not members or you don't know about the group, it started simply as a way, my wife started it as a way, she was transitioning for jobs within the university and she wanted to figure out a way to keep up with her old work friends and still figure out a way to have their lunches and find new places because she was going to be in a different part of town and other things along those lines. And now we've grown to having nearly 18,000 members now. We'll probably be hitting that number here shortly. And we have over 4,000 still trying to get in, but we're really interested in quality over quantity. And we have a list of questions you have to answer to get in. We verify that they are local. So the nice thing about our group for anyone who's participating in from the restaurant side and the consumer side who is looking for recommendations, you know that the group you're talking to is a local group. It's we verify and vet pretty much everyone that comes in and try to make sure we do a really good job of keeping it to the people that are here in Tallahassee. And so with 18,000 members strong, you can imagine this attracted quite a bit of attention from the restaurants as well. And what we like to do too is we like to include them also in the conversation. And I know this is a little bit of a conversation about the pandemic, but it's interesting the dynamic that how our group has changed from what it started as and how it's been transitioning over these last couple of months. We've always encouraged positivity as making it a review site versus anything else. And we've always allowed the restaurants to be members as well so they can interact and have a voice also, you know, that way they can address things directly with consumers. And also we like them to be able to have an avenue to where they can promote things. So growing out of the Tallahassee Foodies group was a Tallahassee Foodies page also. So if you're searching on Facebook and you want to join both of them, the page provides an opportunity where we can post things that are going on in the community food related wise or event related wise. And then there's the TallahasseeFoodies.com, which is the website that supports all of it. And what's really interesting for us is how much growth and activity both the website and the Facebook page have had during this the pandemic and the shutdown. Pre-COVID, average engagement, Facebook provides a 28-day metric. We're having roughly 83,000 engagements. That's just strictly engagements on the group. And we hit the peak, the biggest we ever had during COVID, and it's been running roughly 20% higher, but the peak was 143,000 engagements. And what we attribute a lot of that to, and you can look in, you can really dial down in some of the data. A lot of it was, you know, everyone was thrown into the situation of not knowing, you know, what was open, who was offering what. And so some of the things that we did to help help the restaurants and the local food establishments, and by the way, that's my wife's background. That's where she put herself through school. So she's got a soft spot for restaurants. It's kind of where a lot of her passion comes from. Was we opened up the, instead of allowing the restaurants to only have an introductory post, which we normally do when they're coming online and introducing themselves to the members, we allowed them to do a post a day. So that way they could communicate more directly with all of our group followers. So they know if there was either a new takeout item or things that have grown out of this have been these family meal deals that restaurants weren't doing in the past or different types of takeout orders. Or just for the fact that some restaurants who never did carry out were starting to do carry out. So we wanted to make sure we allowed them the voice on a daily basis because things were changing so quickly to actually get the information out to those different, to all the consumers in town, all the different restaurants who were having massive changes to their structure, be able to get that out there. And it's a new business model, as we know. I mean, social media has now been around for a while, but the way people use it is different. And obviously with the way that we saw not just the engagement, but the increase in followers too, I think we had roughly pre-COVID, I think we picked up almost 3,000 or 4,000 followers. We had another really steep incline. And what was really interesting for me for that was the fact that that was without students or legislature or anyone else in town. So it was largely just our local audience just trying to find good information, much as you guys talked about before. And so we were happy to be a source for all those people to do that. Some initiatives that we did also that drove a lot of that engagement and traffic. The Rally for Tally was a big one. Rally for Tally was the concept there was Small Business Saturday meets takeout. You know, early on, people were still trying to find out who were the restaurants that were doing takeout. And a lot of people were surprised to find out that their favorite restaurant was doing takeout. Just they didn't know. And it's so hard to individually shop. So having a directory on the TallahasseeFoodies.com, you could go there, you could see what was available, you could see the deal they were offering. And a lot of the restaurants were really embracing the idea of wanting to offer something as a thank you to the customers for coming out and supporting them. So that was really good. And because it was such a success, we followed up with the Rally for Tally Bingo, which was fun. You could download different bingo cards and find your 5 favorite restaurants and enter into a contest to win over $400 gift cards from a bunch of your local establishments. So that was fun. And we've also seen as other things that are coming up out of this shutdown that I think are going to be, you know, going forward, that are going to be mainstays that are going to stay in our program are these carryout programs. I think it's the biggest change that a lot of the restaurants are seeing, that carryout for a lot of, especially our local restaurants who are not necessarily doing that prior to all this, have really seen it as a source of income and a driver for their businesses. And there's no need to shut it down once the restaurants open back up to 100% capacity. If certain people are going to be more comfortable, especially as we transition to opening back up again, you know, they're going to feel more comfortable still going the takeout route. But then just takeout in general from your favorite restaurant, it might just be more convenient for a lot of people. And especially with the family meal deals and other things that the restaurants have been offering, I think it's going to become an important business, an element of their business. So the TLH to go is another resource that we heavily support because it's directly related to how you can go to find carryout restaurants specifically in this community. And what's nice about it is it's locally driven. And all the money stays here in the community. So instead of giving big chunks, which you've seen all the national stories out there about how the Grubhubs and the Bite Ice and other things are taking huge chunks of fees still from the restaurants to operate their services, the TLH to go is keeping all that money in our community because it doesn't go outside. There's no fees for the restaurants. There's no delivery charges. It's a small service fee that's tacked on on the consumer end. So it all stays here local, which is really, really nice. So, you know, those are some of the things that our newsletter, there's also a Tallahassee Foodies newsletter. You can sign up for that on the website. You know, it's another thing that we have, and that's grown significantly for us with our owners as well, because the owners are really recognizing the need to have, you know, communication. I think that's another thing that's coming out of this is the more we can all communicate and help each other and support each other, the better it's going to be in the long run going forward. So, and our motto has always been, you know, to keep it positive. We don't do the shaming. There's other review sites out there that get slammed for that and have created a lot of, I guess, animosity among the relationship between the business owner and the consumer. And, you know, we feel the thought process on our end is that the overwhelming positives are going to be what you're going to be the takeaway. You know, if you don't hear a lot about somebody, maybe that's, you know, why they're not getting the attention. That's kind of speaks for itself. You know, we've had tons of viral sensations that are continuing to get business. They don't just spike. You know, if you find a place you love, it kind of gets put into your local rotation here of restaurants and food that you like. So that's another thing. And then the other thing that's grown tremendously out of our family of brands here has been the Tallahassee Food Group Home. So early on in the food group, we had to separate the people who wanted to get in on the home recipes and the cooking. So we've done some really fun things there that people have embraced because of being stuck at their houses. A great example is blueberry picking at Jubilee Farms, which is a local business for the blueberries here. And we're encouraging people you know, as something that you could do during the shutdown to get out of the house. You can be out in the field all by yourself, pick your blueberries, but then come home and share your recipes on how you were making whatever it was from your blueberries. And there's a very passionate group of people who, you know, aren't comfortable maybe going out, or just because of the situation, spending more time at home, that are sharing the recipes and pictures of their home platings and food they're grilling. And we've got a great little community over there as well of another thousands of people that are just sharing ideas locally. There's been yeast shortages because of this. People are like, I found some yeast at Costco, or you can go to Fresh Market. There's also been local restaurants that have been offering it to customers. So, you know, crazy little things like that that have come out of this. But I think, again, all that is in some shape or fashion, a lot of these things are, I think, all here to stay going forward from the restaurant and the home business. So that's some of the things that we've seen that have been going on here locally in the restaurant scene.
Great, thanks. Love what you all are doing. Really, really thank you for that.
I'm going to be honest. It's mostly my wife and our admins. We have a great group of admins, Becca and Miss April and Tan, and my wife. They're really the drivers behind it. I'm trying to oversee the business end of it and figure out how this actually might become a business at some point. But they're the unsung heroes, the ones behind the scenes that are moderating that thing every day and cracking the whip on keeping everyone to do it the right way.
Great. It is. It's the people. Definitely the people. So, again, love what you're doing. Let's open it up. Are there any questions for JH on, like I said, all the assets that he has with Tallahassee Foodies? Are there any questions?
For the business people, so you know, we also have we started a Tallahassee Shop Local under the same theme for connecting people beyond just the restaurants also. So that's something else that's out there. We just started that up as well. So another way to make great recommendations on local businesses in town that we've seen some response to similarly as well, for people to kind of connect with what's open, what services are they providing, you know, how they're providing the service, is it meeting guidelines, are you comfortable with them, they're, you know, doing it. So there's that as well. So
right.
I gotta say, I was very happy with what you did with the positive outlook. There are several of these out here that I just won't have anything to do with. It's just too depressing to read. And you're driving customers to you. They're able to talk about businesses like me. You're providing a forum. And I gotta say, I've been very impressed with what you do. And I'd like you to continue to do it. So let me know how I can support.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, that's our goal, to keep it going that way going forward. I think in general, a lot of ways, in all of us on our end, we all have real jobs. This is kind of a side thing on the foodie side. But all in our interactions and our normal work stuff, I think we're all pretty much frustrated with the negativity that's out there on social media. And there's no reason why you can't run a website and a food group and a Facebook and all the social media stuff and not keep it positive. You know, I think in this day and age, and especially during this time when we're trying to be supporting each other, I think it makes more sense to try to just keep it positive than allowing people to come in and tear other people down. It just doesn't need to be like that right now. And we're pretty strict on it. And we've taken, to be honest, from some people, we've taken a lot of flack for that also, which is a little bit frustrating. But we're not trying to shut down other voices. That's not the point of it. The point is, like, hey, we can achieve the same goal by doing it in a positive manner than allowing people to attack each other. So
yeah. Well, I happen to agree. You know, I run a YouTube channel and people keep on saying you're the purest thing on your YouTube. And I have a large number of subscribers, ridiculously so, because I'm positive and people respect that. So keep it up. Don't break.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. What you and Jennifer have created really does underscore that we are all in this together as a community and as an industry and supporting each other. And again, even just listening to the speakers today really shows you guys and Sally and you, I mean, really exemplifying how your model has changed, your business model has changed, kind of forced everybody to do things differently, but it's also been very innovative and very creative. And we've all come up with things that are now going to be here to stay. So but what you've done with Foodies clearly underscores that what makes our community special too is that it's keeping it positive and supporting each other. So thank you again for all that you're doing. So now let me, again, thank you to all of our speakers today. Really appreciate you being here. Just great, great information. Let me open it up to the folks that are in the meeting. Are there any other comments for the group? And again, any questions for any of our speakers? But open it up to the floor if you'd like to share anything for the good of the order.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Bo.
I just wanted to mention to everyone, some people have may have seen this on social media already, but there is a wonderful new piece of art here in the Arts District. On the back side of the business, the Other Side Vintage in Railroad Square Art Park, there is a huge mural that was just painted by the uber talented Colette Hardiman. And it basically says, "Greetings from Tallahassee." And Cheryl and I, our owners here at the Hampton Inn and Suites, are also the owners that are building the Hyatt House. And they have brought that to life with Colette's talents. And so if you're in the area, please come by and take a picture. It is absolutely amazing. So just want to mention that to everybody.
Thank you for sharing that, Bo. It is pictures of it. It's beautifully done. I love it that we now have that. I mean, talk about an Instagrammable, you know, place, and it's going to be gorgeous and so happy. And I guess you just completed it this week?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. There we go. So you got to get by and check it out. It's like very retro. It's a very retro postcard. Greetings from Tallahassee, and beautifully done. And she is so talented. And again, just adding more to the vibrancy. There's a lot of murals down there, but this one's extra special because it's greetings from Tallahassee. So thank you all for doing that. Please, everybody, get by and check it out. It's gorgeous.
Thanks.
Okay, well, with that, then again, I want to say thank you, speakers, for joining us today. We've got next week, we've got another great lineup. The folks from the Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival, but it's now called the Chain of Parks, a park, in the sense that they are adapting their event to their schedule to have that event June 20th through 22nd. And they've done some really cool, innovative, creative adaptations to that event. So we're going to hear from them. We're also Eleanor Warmack. She is the executive director of the Florida Recreation and Parks Association. Again, to talk to give us more of kind of what she's seeing around the state. From again, we know people are wanting to get out and explore all the parks and the greenways. And I saw that bike sales are absolutely surging now. Everybody's going out and getting bikes, and which is perfect for us. I mean, we're thrilled that, you know, certainly here, this destination is perfect for that. And then we're also going to hear from Michelle Wilson. She is with Marriott International. She is our area or regional sales executive, and talk to us again about some things that are happening in the lodging and the meeting industry as well. So we're going to hear from her as well next week. So again, and let's continue to be safe, continue our efforts to focus on the future, support each other, and prepare to come back stronger. Again, thank you for being with us this morning. Be safe, be smart, and be kind, and have a great day.